Have you ever wanted to give someone a gift and you just don't know what to get them? I think we've all been in that situation, right? How do you just know what the right thing is? Right? What if it's somebody who already has everything or they don't really want anything? What do you do? Well, sometimes they have a hobby, right? A person will have a hobby or an interest. And so you have an idea. You have an idea of what they might like from you as a gift. But even that can be difficult, right? I know there are some here who like biking or hiking as well. And so that maybe you can get something related to that. But you really can't, right? Because only they really know what they want of those things. So you don't really know what to do, so you get a gift card, right, to somewhere. And not to downplay gift cards. I like gift cards myself. But that's what we do, right? But we try to give gifts. And some people just don't like gifts as much as others as well, right? They don't like those things. We all have different likes. There's a book called The Five Love Languages, which many of you have heard of. It was written by Gary Chapman. And in that, he basically explains that there's different ways that people like to receive love or appreciation from others. And those are receiving gifts, just like what I was talking about, words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, and acts of service. Different ways of showing people that you care for them or you appreciate them. And we all like all of those to some degree, but we prefer some over others. Ways to tell someone they are appreciated. Well, what if you wanted to give God a gift? Right? We just heard in the sermon before that we have this great plan for us, that God is providing for us. What if we wanted to show appreciation back to Him for that? Right? What if you'd like to do something to say that we appreciate Him? What could we give? What could we give to God? We can't give a gift card, right? That's off the table. So it'd have to be something else. Well, God gave us these love languages, that they're ways that we interact with each other. And I believe that He feels those things as well. And I think we can show that here in just a little bit. He feels that same level of appreciation that we do. He built that into us. So we're going to use these love languages and come up with some possible gift ideas that we can give our God in love and appreciation. So the first one, let's get right into this, is receiving gifts. Right? We just talked about that. Giving something. What is an item that we can give God? Right? We can't just hand Him something. So let's look at this. And we like getting gifts. I was just looking at this in my Bible here. And I've got this little bookmark in my Bible from years ago. And it was given to me by Luke when he was a little, nice little boy. And it says, Lego Star Wars, A New Hope. And it's got little stick figures on it. And it says, author Luke Fogelson. Anyways, he was obviously not listening to the sermon or anything else at that time. But he gave me this. And it's been in my Bible for years. It's a little gift, something that I have and I keep, and I like it. Just an example of a gift, right? It can be little things or big things. I saw Mr. McKeon's niece hand him that orange during the sermon earlier, and he got a big smile, right? It wasn't even her orange to give him, but she gave it to him, and it makes you feel good, right? That somebody's given you something, especially your kids or young children. So let's turn over to Leviticus 3 and see if there's even things God likes to be given. And in Leviticus 3, this is about sacrifices, which was giving something to God, right, in the Old Testament. We can't sacrifice, we don't sacrifice animals, but I think it gives a good idea and shows that God does appreciate some things. In Leviticus 3 and verse 1, it says, when his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. Okay, so this is giving an animal as a sacrifice to God. In verse 5, it says, and Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, it says, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire. And then it says something here that's interesting. A sweet aroma to the Lord. A sweet aroma. So it's something that God likes. There's something about this that God likes. Now, I was just given a smoker recently and to smoke meat. And when that thing's going, you can pull up in the front yard and there is a sweet aroma going on, right? You know something's happening in the backyard that is very good. The neighbors down the street can smell this. It's a sweet aroma. And I think we've all, you know what I'm talking about, right? What I'm getting to is that God likes some things. And it says that this was a sweet aroma when this gift was being given to God, that he liked it. So what can we do? What can we do? We don't sacrifice. Well, we can give our gifts. We can give the gifts that we have been given. You know, the Bible teaches that God gives every one of us gifts. They're given by God to us to empower us to help others, to be a blessing to others. And so it's a time to think, do you know what God has gifted you with or me with? Maybe it's a gift of encouragement that you're able to speak to others and help them out in hard times. Maybe it's a gift of teaching. Maybe it's the ability to explain something simply out of the Bible to others. We all have gifts. Let's turn over to Philippians 4:14. Talks a little bit about us, about using these gifts. Now in Philippians 4:14, this is talking about the Philippians and the generosity that they had towards Paul, and this is what Paul says. Philippians 4:14. It says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. So they helped Paul out. It says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid, and once again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. It says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus, I'll say, the things you sent. And then it says something about this act that was done. It says, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well and pleasing to God. So it's compared back to that sacrifice, right? What they did. They gave something to others, to Paul in this circumstance, and it says that it was that sweet-smelling aroma and pleasing to God. So something to consider, right? We have that opportunity. The gifts that we have been given are diverse. Opportunities come up that we can benefit others with the things that God has given us. So figure out, try to find those gifts in your life and apply them. use them for others' good, because God gave them to us. Let's turn over to Romans 12. It says a little bit more about this. Romans 12 and verse 1. And this message has nothing to do with the holidays or any kind of Christmas theme. I was asked that several times before coming up here today. It is about giving gifts, though. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So something about us, and back to that idea of a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, what God likes, would like from us. It says, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Again, what God likes, those things that we can give. And then verse 3, it says, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And then it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. And he goes on to give some examples. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So it's saying, use those things. Give to others as a way of giving to God. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, you'll need to turn there, but it says, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves that. So it's a gift. It's a gift that we can give to God, and it's done by sharing with others what God has given to us. The next one is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. That's words, using words to show appreciation for someone. We all like that, right? You get a card. At my work, we have this thing called Above and Beyond, where you can nominate somebody and you write a little note on there and then they put it up on a board and says, somebody did a great job today or they helped me out or whatever it is. It's just some words to show appreciation. And it's a gift to people. It makes them feel good. It makes me feel good when I get that, right? We all like that. So how can we apply that with God? What if we wanted to give some words of affirmation to God and show appreciation there? When I was looking into this a little more, this word of worship came up. Worship. And we say that we worship God, and I looked up the definition, and it said, the act of attributing reverent honor and homage to God. It's saying that you appreciate him and what he has done for us. And I started to think, when do we worship God? When do we even do that? In general. It's a verb of doing something. And I came up with a little list. We can say that we worship God by attending services. It's definitely a form of worship. When we pray in a group, for sure, it's a form of worship. And when we sing, it's worship. Many churches, they can call it a worship service. It's not terminology that we use generally, but it's a form of worship, is singing. And we can see that it's something that God likes. It's a gift that we can give to God. You know, when you turn there, but in Luke 2, it talks about angels singing. And let's go to Ephesians and look at something there. Ephesians 5. in verse 17. So it says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." What does God want? It says, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And then it says something, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the thing God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's saying this is something that we can do to show God that we appreciate him. It's a gift. Now, I can remember very vividly my grandfather, which many of you know. He was up here and giving a sermon or a sermonette about singing, and it was because, at least I thought it was directed at me, my brothers and I, we wouldn't sing during church. We're teenagers, didn't like to sing, whatever the reason, but I can remember him up here giving that message and saying that it was an opportunity for us to participate that we were missing. And things have changed since then, and sometimes we look back and realize that we weren't doing things right in the past. And it is an opportunity to worship God, to be part of a group and saying something to God that we appreciate him. It's something that he likes. Let's turn over to Psalms 95. Psalms 95, verse 1 says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and the King above all gods. And in his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also his. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed the dry land." So God has done great things. He has done great things for us. And that is a time that we have an opportunity of saying how much we appreciate him as a gift. Now, I'm going to give a little statistic here, and sometimes these things are for self-reflection, and I'm really not pointing out anybody in particular, okay? I talk about not singing when I was a teen, and I know some don't do that now, and it's a choice. There's no rules against these things, but just something to consider as we go about our life and how we want to show God that we appreciate them. There was several weeks ago, we had a combined service. We had just under 100 people here. And I counted when we had the song service come up. And 15 people left during that song service. And which was more than one out of six people in the congregation. And there's no rule against that, okay? I want to just point that out. And if you need to go, go. I'm just putting out some information that you can use, okay, and consider. But in my mind, and I've talked to my kids, it's better to go during the sermon, right? What difference does it make what I'm saying here? It's not a time that time is special, and we can give something to God. It's our opportunity. It's my opportunity to sing and participate and give something to God. So again, it's not a rule. You can get up and go anytime you want. But something to consider as we go along. And think of what we can give to God. I'm going to turn to Psalms 147. You might be right by there if you were still there. Psalm 147, verse 1. It says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and praise is beautiful." So again, it is our opportunity on the Sabbath to participate as a group and give a gift to God. So consider that, and consider participating in that. The next point is quality time. Quality time. It's a way of giving a gift to others by spending time with them. Now, with me, with guys, it's kind of like we like to do things a lot, and quality time is very, very special, especially with friends. You know, you go fishing. Talked about mountain biking with some here in the group. Maybe it's hanging out and talking, playing cards, or whatever it might be, right? There's that quality time. You get together with people, and it's a way of showing appreciation, right? You say, come on over, and we'll hang out, we'll eat, that kind of thing. How can we spend quality time with God? Well, one main way is through prayer. We talked about that as a form of worship as well, but prayer, by bowing down and spending time with God, right? Especially if you're on your knees, it kind of puts it in a different feel. It's a reverence towards God. It's a surrender. It's a humbling of yourself. And it's spending time with God. It's a gift. Proverbs 15, verse 8, you don't need to turn there, but it says, the prayer of the upright is God's delight. That means God likes it when you pray to him. And think about that if you have kids or really anybody who want to just spend time with you. When it's your kids and they just want to talk and maybe have a conversation about what they're thinking and spend time with you, it's a gift. That time is a gift. And we appreciate it as parents, and God appreciates it from us as well. Let's turn over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and verse 7. This is about asking and talking to God about what's going on in our life. Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to you, to those who ask? And it just made me think of that relationship with our children. And when they spend time and they talk to us and they ask for things, we want that, right? We want that time. And it is a gift, even when they are asking us for something, because we want to help. We want to help. And God wants to help us. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, you don't need to turn there. I'll just read it. It says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will. And again, when it says it's God's will, it means that's what he wants from us. It's what he likes. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So quality time is a gift that we can give God. The next one is physical touch. Physical touch. So that means hugs, right? Which has been a little bit difficult recently. There's some separation within groups. We can't hug God, right? We can't hug God. Not physically. And sometimes people will say that, right? Like, what do you want for a present? And they'll say, oh, just a hug. Just want a hug. And we understand that, right? Physical touch, it's important to people. That interaction, and it's important to God as well. And it was shown by Jesus Christ. I'd like to look at a scripture that shows that. Let's turn over to Luke 5. Luke 5 and verse 12. And so this is where Jesus, he cleanses a leper, okay? Heals him. It says, and it happened when he, Jesus, was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then it says something interesting here. it's talking about, it says, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him. Right? There was some touch. There was some physical touch. And then he said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. So there was some interaction there, right? That shows caring. It shows love and appreciation to another person. If you think about the blessing of the children, you don't need to turn there, but you can read about it in Mark 10. The little children, they came to Jesus that he might touch them, right? And what did he do? He took them in his arms and he held them and he blessed them. So it is, physical touch is appropriate to God. He showed that when Jesus Christ was here, that it is a way of showing that you care for somebody, showing that love. And it can be a gift within appropriate boundaries, of course, right? So how can we show God appreciation with physical touch? Let's turn over to 1 John 4. I think that answers it for us. 1 John 4. 1 John 4 and verse 12, it says, for no one has seen God at any time. So we can't give him a hug, right? But then it says, if we love one another, God abides in us. And his love has been perfected in us. So God is part of us. His Holy Spirit is in us or working with us. It says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given of us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior to the world. And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So we have God's Spirit, right? Either in us or working with us. And we show that physical touch by, once again, how we interact with each other within God's family. And I know many of you like hugs. It's like a hug. It's hugs going on all over this place when people get let in. And that's not everybody's thing, but definitely there's some in this room who enjoy hugs. So it's something that we can do with each other and show that love as a gift to God through how we interact with each other with physical touch. You know, I think of Passover as well. And that's very touching somebody in a way that we wouldn't normally do. But it showed an attitude, right, of love and of caring for another person. I'll read from John 13 about that. You don't need to turn there. It says, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? It says, you have called me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So once again, right, we look at that Jesus, or that example from Jesus Christ as what he expects from us or would like from us. And says, most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So we can love each other and through physical touch, and it's a gift of God when we do that, because we're part of that God family. We have that Spirit working in us and with us. All right. The last one, acts of service. Acts of service is the last love language that we're going to discuss. And for any of these, you could probably find many, many more examples on ways to show gifts to God or give gifts to God and show the appreciation that you have or that we have for him and for what he has done for us. So acts of service, that's done by doing something for somebody, right, as a way of showing appreciation. It might be cooking a meal. It could be doing some errands for somebody. It could be cleaning the kitchen, which I'm hoping maybe our kids will show us that act of service soon. But just kidding. You know what I'm talking about, right? Acts of service, doing something to be nice for others, to help them out, and to show that you care. It often requires some thought. It requires time and effort to come up with these type of gifts. So once again, how do we give in this way to God? Well, it really has to do with giving our life to God, to God's way, making our life an act of service to God. That's what we've been called to do. Let's turn over to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 31. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.'" And then it says, so it's listing off all these things about how these two groups, the sheep and goats, live their lives, right? It says, "Then the righteous will answer him saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink?' And then he says, when did you see a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did you see the sick or in prison and come to you?' It says, and the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" So it's showing that example, right? And it's this whole list of things, just about how people live their lives. And it's about living God's way, showing that love to others. And saying that when you did this to others in this circumstance, they were doing it for God, right? You give somebody a drink, saying that's giving that drink to God. It's an act of service and something we can do in how we live every day. So every day living as an act of service to God, it's probably the most important of these love languages, right? It's kind of all-encompassing. It drives how we live when we leave here today, when we go out, how we act and how we treat others. But God's saying that he likes that when we go out and do what we have learned and practice it. Let's turn over to Colossians 1. So this is Paul, and Paul can say a lot in one sentence because one sentence is very long. So it's one paragraph length, it's one sentence, but he's speaking about this situation and how we live as an act of service to God. So Colossians 1 verse 9, it says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will," once again, what God wants from us, "in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him," right? Giving him things that he wants, right? That gift. And what is that? That gift that he wants that's pleasing to him? It says, "being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So basically learning about God and then going in and using it. It says, "strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers and inheritance of the saints in the light. So once again, that act of service. And he says, wants us to just take what we've learned and go and apply it. And it's a gift. It's something that's pleasing to God. And it's more about our way of life, right? How we live. And we do this. But it's good to think about sometimes that we are doing these things. And we do take these things from here. And we do things that are pleasing to God. And he appreciates that. Let's turn over to Ephesians 5 for one more scripture. So in Ephesians 5, verse 1, it speaks to the same idea about acts of service and in our life as an act of service. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. And then it says again, what we talked about earlier, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Right? That thing that God likes. Just like when you smell the smoker, it makes you feel good. It's something you enjoy. Right here, it's saying God likes that as well. Verse 8, it says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So once again, taking what we've learned and applying it. It says it's that sweet smelling aroma to God. So acts of service, how we live our lives, can be a gift. It is a gift. It's something we do. And we do these things, all of these things, at one time or another. But again, maybe this act of service is the most important. Maybe it implies more of our lives and what we give. Applying that blessing that we have. It's a great blessing to know the truth that we do, the truth of God. And we can go from here and use it, use what we've learned as an act of service. So we all like getting gifts. Everybody likes getting gifts. God, he made us that way, I believe. Some prefer to receive gifts, those physical gifts. Some like words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, or acts of service. We like all of them to some degree. We do. God gave us these qualities, and God also likes these things as well from us. He appreciates when we show our love for him. God has blessed us. He's given us so much. So don't forget to give God a gift and thanks for everything he has done for you and me.